This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 29th, 2014. I'm Caleb Brown. The dead hand of outdated regulation continues to raise the price of health care. Certificate of need laws effectively give entrenched businesses the ability to veto their would-be competition. Matthew Mitchell has studied this issue for the Mercatus Center. We spoke last week.
So there's a guy in Virginia. He's a doctor. His name's Dr. Baumel. He's developed this procedure called a virtual colonoscopy. And what it does is it's a non-invasive way to do what a colonoscopy normally does. This is significant because every year 50,000 people die from colon cancer. And it's a disease that if it can be detected early enough, many of them can be treated. Yet more than half of those who are at risk never get colonoscopies because they're, understandably, it's a pretty invasive procedure. So he developed a technique to do a virtual colonoscopy, no invasive procedure. But there is what's known as a certificate of need law in Virginia, which means that if you want to purchase new equipment, build a new facility, or expand your existing facility, you have to go to the state and prove to them that the community needs it. And only then will they issue what's called a certificate of need that certifies that your community needs and wants this procedure. During the process of proving to them that your community needs this, incumbent firms are allowed to go and present their case that the community does not need it or does not want it. So this guy, he started his case 4 years ago. 4 years later, who knows how many hundreds of Virginians have passed away from colon cancer. In the meantime, and of course, thousands of dollars of Dr. Baumel's resources have been sunk into this, he still doesn't have a certificate of need.
Certificate of need laws exist in 36 states now. It seems to be blatantly anti-competitive, but what was the rationale for developing them and why do so many states have them?
Yeah, so New York was the first to get a certificate of need law in 1964. The original rationale is basically seems to be sort of economics that wouldn't pass muster in Econ 101 class. It's the idea that states felt that hospitals were maybe over-investing in healthcare, and so therefore they ought to limit the supply of healthcare. Now, basic Econ 101 says that if you limit supply, price will go up, not down. Later, some people developed a little bit more sophisticated version of the rationale, which was, okay, we know that this creates monopoly or cartel profits for the incumbent firms. But if combined with mandates, we can require the states the hospitals to then take a portion of their monopoly profits and use that to offer indigent care for underserved populations. So 1964, New York is the first state in the country to adopt a certificate of need law. 1974, the federal government said that they were going to offer incentives for the other states to do the same. So gradually over time, states added these. By 1980, I think, basically every state in the country except for Louisiana had adopted it. By the end of the 80s, the economics of this had turned and people had sort of started to realize, boy, if you limit supply, you're going to raise prices. And so the federal law was overturned. Now still, however, 36 states still have certificate of need laws.
All right. So what do we know about the impact of these laws? I know in Kentucky, where I'm from, I know that they're one of the states that has them and has for some time. It certainly prevents a lot of people from getting into healthcare as a competitor, as an entrepreneur within that business.
Yeah, that's right. So the first thing that we know, and there's a new study by a couple of colleagues at Mercatus, Thomas Stratman and Jake Russ, and what they do is they look at the two factors. One, what is the supply of healthcare in those states as it relates to certificate of need laws? And two, how do these laws affect indigent care? So in the first case, they find evidence that certificate of need laws, as one would predict, do limit the supply of healthcare. There are fewer hospital beds as a share of the population in those states that have certificate of need laws, and there are fewer beds as the laws grow more stringent. They find that there are fewer CT scanning devices. There are fewer MRIs. A number of factors seem to be limited in those states that have certificate of need laws. Secondly, they then look at indigent care. which again is this rationale that, well, maybe if we somehow allow hospitals to charge cartel prices, maybe then we can force them to do things that we want, like provide care to underserved populations. Well, it turns out they find no evidence that that those states with certificate of need laws have any greater incidence of indigent care. They don't have any greater incidence of free service. They don't have any greater incidence of Medicaid served populations as a share of the total hospital stays. So this second rationale doesn't have any legs either.
It also seems that if you have multiple hospitals in a given area, you know, it's not a neat process of competing, but there's also specialization that healthcare facilities could go into that, absent some form of competition, prevents hospitals from necessarily focusing on that at all.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And ultimately, you know, one of the most unfortunate thing about these certificate of need laws is they lock in an established idea of what constitutes good service. So rather than allowing the market to work and explore and discover what kinds of services customers actually want and are willing to pay for, it's this top-down approach that assumes that a board of experts can determine what the population does and does not need. And so in many ways, like a lot of regulations, it essentially locks in existing technologies and is a bias against any new disruptive innovative technologies like virtual colonoscopies.
And there are a lot of big businesses like Walmart, for example, that would like to get into providing some bare bones healthcare, you know, swabs for strep and that sort of thing that I presume they're having trouble getting set up in those states.
Yeah, again, so there's this bias for the existing model, and it presumes that the way healthcare is delivered in 1974 is essentially the way it ought to be delivered in 2014. And so minute clinics or other kinds of newer innovations that have different ways of providing healthcare, often much cheaper ways, it discriminates against them.
So there are 36 states that still have certificate of need laws, even though the federal impetus for doing so went away at the end of the 80s.
Yeah.
But they're still there.
Yeah.
And presumably that's in part because there are these incumbents who want them to stay there.
That's right. So it's a nice illustration of this concept of regulatory capture, which was developed by George Siegler in 1971. And the idea here is, contrary to popular opinion, regulations are not universally anti-business. You know, both the left and the right often share in this notion that regulation is anti-business and pro-consumer. The left applauds this and the right abhors it. And in reality, I think they're both wrong. Regulations are rarely universally anti-business. They are anti-new business, new business model. They are often redound to the benefit of incumbent firms and incumbent business models. They like regulations if they are barriers to entry or if they raise the cost of new rivals. And so what you find in the 36 states that have certificate of need laws is the existing providers are often some of the most vociferous advocates for the maintenance of these laws.
Matthew Mitchell is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center. You can read more about certificate of need laws and the damage they do at our website, cato.org.